What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz, presented by OTG Basketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And we got some actual breaking news today. What's up, Jack?
Funny story, Nick. When I got the notification about the trade yesterday, I was playing 2K as the Nets, and I was versing, guess who? The Nuggets.
Denver Nuggets. Jack is definitely playing some things out there. Every time we drop a show, it feels like there's some news that happens right after, so maybe something will happen after this, but it was a pretty big trade. You know, it's technically two different trades, but we'll look at it as one. You know, the Nets received Kenneth Reed, Darrell Arthur, Denver's 2019 first-round pick protected 1 through 12, Denver's 2020 second-round pick unprotected, and then also Portland's 2020 second-round pick 31 to 55 protected. They sent out Jeremy Lin, 2025 second-round pick, the rights to swap 2023 second-round picks with Atlanta, as well as Isaiah Whitehead. But, Jack, initial reactions when you saw the trade?
I mean, I was upset because I remember on yesterday's pod, I literally talked about the possibility of Lin being traded and, you know, losing the credibility of my Nets number team. I was like, man, I'm going to get the Nick Fay curse. And lo and behold, it happened. But yeah, there was an initial feeling of upset. I'm like, damn, Jim Lin's an awesome guy, great glue guy, great leadership guy. But then when you sort of look at it as a whole, and Nets Twitter as a whole and Twitter in general was just praising Sean Marks like no other, and he deserved it, absolutely. I think that he needs to be heralded for all the moves that he's made over the past 2 years and such, but that was just an awesome move.
Yeah, it definitely reminds you a little bit of Damari Carroll deal from last year, getting the first round pick, the second round pick. Obviously, Jeremy Lin has only played 37 games for the Nets in 2 years. Injuries have really hurt that. Isaiah Whitehead, there really wasn't a role for him with the Nets, and he'll be waived by the Nuggets. So like you said, I mean, initial reaction, you feel bad for Lin, but it's another great move for Sean Marks. Adding a draft pick, you know, a first round pick and a second round pick. Now going to next season, they're going to have their own pick, and now the Nuggets pick, and it's protected 1 through 12. And I mean, the Nuggets, I would say, are likely to make the playoffs, especially after signing Isaiah Thomas, but I don't think they'll be a high seed, so it could end up being another solid pick too.
I mean, if you look at this year's pick, they'd pick 14. That'd be a pretty decent pick. Obviously, early talks are this year's draft, or next year's draft, sorry, is going to be a little bit weaker, but obviously, you know, it's such early days, but obviously the protections get lower and lower up to a year that hasn't been revealed yet, wouldn't turn into 2 second rounders. But I highly doubt that's going to happen, like you said, Nick. I feel like it'll probably happen next year. And, you know, anyway, if we have our own pick as well, you know, you can always package them to get a higher pick as well if you want to get a quality player that you're targeting. So, I mean, the fact that we are getting assets out of such, like, you know, all these maneuverings by Sean Marks in the front office, it's just, you know, absolutely awesome.
We're slowly building a treasure chest, something that the Celtics have done with our picks. Now we have some nice young players in D'Angelo, Caris LeVert, Rondé, Spencer, Jared Allen, you know, the guys we drafted this year, Musa. And now we have a first-round pick of our own, a first-round pick of Denver. Now we're possible trade, you know, people out there. We can make moves. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's talk about the impact that Fareed and Arthur can have. First, we'll start with Fareed, who there was some question if he would be bought out, but he just posted on Instagram, and it looks like he'll be in Brooklyn. He said be ready for him. So what are you expecting from Kenneth Fareed, a guy who was on the USA team and had a really big summer a few years ago, and then he kind of just fell out of Denver's front court rotation?
Yeah, I think in terms of the way Denver was going, they sort of misused him, and their direction went beyond that when they sort of started using Nikola Jokic in a more key fashion. And obviously, Fareed, for me, you know, I was doing some research, you know, read some stuff on the Denver SB Nation, and they had some real love for him. I also looked at his, like, per 36-minute numbers, pretty insane. Like, yeah, they are easy double-double numbers. Like, you know, even last year, which was one of his worst years, he had his per 36 numbers, 40.7 points and 11.9 rebounds. Now, obviously, per 36 numbers, you know, you take with a grain of salt. But every year, he's averaged 15 and 10, basically, per 36. If he gets the minutes, you know, we know what we're going to get from, you know, the manimal. I'm just really looking forward. We talked about him before and the fact that I think that he could provide a real need. He provides a real energy. Like, you know, he takes Quincy Acey to, like, a new level. He has real rebounding, great in transition, great verticality. His defending can be, you know, a bit up and down, but I think, you know, we've got Jared Allen next to him if he was going to play at the power forward, but he will probably play some small ball center as well. I think it's just nice to have, you know, extra rotation pieces. You know, like we talked about Ed Davis, but yeah, I think Kenneth Farid is going to provide some so much on and off the court, and you know, give us a bit of personality as well.
Yeah, some toughness, some rebounding. We talked about Ed Davis a few shows ago, and the Nets winning the offseason kind of adding to that rebounding toughness, and they do it again with Farid. You know, obviously the first couple of years in Brooklyn, the Nets had a guy like Reggie Evans, you know, rebounding monster, a lot of energy. Kenneth Farid's probably going to be a supercharged version of that in a lesser minutes. Obviously, he's going to have to compete with minutes. They didn't sign Ed Davis for no reason. And like you said, playing at the five is probably the preference for the Nets, but definitely something to keep an eye on. He has something to prove. It kind of reminds you of Damari Carroll. I don't think he'll bounce back the same way, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did bounce back in a smaller way.
Yeah, and who knows? That could turn into like another asset. We're talking about Damari and the fact that he's been up in trade rumors and such, but both of them on expiring contracts and contract years. Generally, that's when you see the best out of players, and they sort of obviously want to get that big payday. So Kenneth Farid, obviously, you know, went to high school in New Jersey, so sort of back home to an extent. So I think he's going to have every opportunity. I believe him and Arthur have been meeting with the Nets staff today, from what I've seen. So hopefully they're productive meetings, and I think that they were, because we saw, you know, like Farid, like you said, Farid's Instagram post. But I think both of these guys can give us something, especially Farid.
What do you think about Darrell Arthur? Do you think he could be possibly bought out? There's been some talk about that. Or do you think he'll be with the Nets as a veteran at the end of the bench? You know, he can shoot the three ball. I believe career three-point percentage around 35%.
Yeah, and there was some years, like, you know, the year before last, he shot over like 45%. You know, he shot about 39% the year before. Obviously, last year, injuries really crueled him. I think that he will be on the Nets roster. I just don't see what buying out would accomplish, especially the fact that he's an expiring and it's only $8 million. Like, you know, we've already bought out, you know, Deron Williams still on the payroll, as is Dwight Howard after that recent transaction. I see him, you know, providing something. And if he gives us something more than he did last season, I think that's a bonus, you know, being able to give us something at the stretch four, something that we've sort of craved and sort of talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. You know, and I think one thing from reading about him and from all the sort of Twitter posts is that media and players alike absolutely love him. They respect him like no other. And I think that that's an invaluable thing to have in a locker room. Even for a building squad and for a building culture that we've talked about, you know, to attract free agents, to have a teammate like that, you know, when, funnily enough, when Kenneth Farid was, you know, losing minutes last year around January, Darrell Arthur was the one that sort of went to Mike Malone and said, look, can you, maybe I think this is the time to sort of give him, he's doing everything, he's, you know, putting in all the work off the court. And funnily enough, you know, Mike Malone respected the hell out of that. And he was going to give him the minutes anyway. But the fact that Arthur was the one that sort of instigated that as a teammate, Jokic has spoken volumes of him in terms of being the sort of, you know, the voice of reason within that locker room. So to have that going into our locker room as well, I think it's going to be awesome for guys, you know, especially like a Rondé as well. I think he could be a really nice sort of mentor, similar to what Damari Carroll was for D'Angelo Russell. So, you know, as much as, you know, his on-court exploits could be questioned in terms of his ability to get out there, but, you know, if he does get out there, it's a bonus. But also, you know, his locker room presence will be fantastic.
Yeah, you lose a guy like Jeremy Lin, who's known as a great locker room presence. You add a guy like Arthur, who is another great locker room presence. And like you said, Denver's media, Denver's players have all spoken very highly of him. So you love adding a piece like that. And then obviously we love the picks. Let's talk a little bit about what the Nets lost in this trade. It's obviously not a ton. You know, the 2025 second round pick, we don't even know where that's going to be or where the Nets will be at that time. And then the 2023 pick swap, same thing there. Not really much to worry about, because Atlanta could still be in a losing situation or the Nets could be in a winning situation. I think second round picks aren't a big deal. Your thoughts on moving the second rounders?
I mean, Nick, we lost a sixth grader. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. No, I think the second round is, I always like, I'm intrigued by, like, you know, what goes on in the negotiating room and say, like, okay, well, we'll only do this trade if you give us this pick swap. And it's just like, it seems to me that it's almost for show in weird ways, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just this Nets trade. It's just like, you could just do that trade straight up and, like, you know, just keep the second rounders. Obviously, these two teams, and with the where they are now, project to obviously be around that time a little bit better. You know, in 5 years' time, they want to be challenging for playoffs and championships. So it's almost like these second rounders are almost meaningless. But at the same time, you know, second rounders can turn into gold occasionally. We saw, you know, Isaiah Thomas, you know, Draymond Green, all these sort of guys. But yeah, for me, the second rounders essentially mean nothing.
Yeah, especially when you're a team like Brooklyn and you are willing to spend money, you know, they can buy picks if it's necessary, especially late picks like those probably project to be. So, and then obviously losing Jeremy Lin, we kind of talked about a little bit before. You know, Lin was one of the first, I guess, want to say bigger free agents to sign with Brooklyn. He wanted to be here. He wanted to help set the culture. You know, him and Kenny had a great relationship, and he honestly helped the franchise. You know, last season he missed all but 25 minutes, but the year before when he did play, even though he missed majority of the season, he was very helpful in terms of helping them build that culture and have shots at winning games.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Jeremy Lin. I mean, you really can't. Health was probably his number one issue over his time in Brooklyn. And for me, it was sort of sad to not see him reach his potential and sort of be able to sort of, and this season I was sort of, you know, had an element of an excitement about him sort of being able to produce on the court and get healthy. But you know, like we mentioned on the last pod, that was sort of, you know, still go listen to that, guys, because there was plenty of useful information on it. And also it's fun to reflect on. But the fact was, like, I was like hopeful to see him, you know, get healthy and stuff. But at the same time, the rumors going around where he was barely able to do 5-on-5 contact at the same time. So, while also the fact that it would have been nice to see him reach his potential, there were still question marks about that going into this season. And it also relieves our sort of point guard glut that we've been talking about on all the different pods from here to Full Access Hoops.
Yeah, definitely. I think it helps in that area where, and Jeremy Lin, like you said, there was some concern that he might not even be ready for training camp. You know, obviously he got injured in the first game of the season, a lot of recovery time. He's a guy who's dealt with injuries, numerous injuries. So, and then obviously, like you said, you know, we have a lot of guards. You know, D'Angelo is going to be that lead guard. It seems like more and more likely every single day the Nets are buying him being that star. Nets Dilly just dropped a piece on that. It's great. As well, obviously, Spencer Dinwiddie, a big season. He's definitely looking like your backup guard. And then you got Caris LeVert, whose probably best skill set is playmaking. So now you have all three of these guys, and then you have to try to throw in Lin, who probably is not going to get better. He's not going to reach a higher peak at this point in his career with all the injuries. They kind of wanted to invest in the young guys and make sure they got the proper minutes and didn't want to cause any problems. You know, if Lin's playing great and, you know, the other guy's struggling, Kenny might play him and it kind of hurts the development a touch. But, and now they don't have to worry about that issue at all.
Yeah, and I think the number one thing that, like I mentioned at the start of the pod, that sort of hurt me in the feels a little bit was because, you know, he was at Summer League supporting the guys sitting next to D'Lo. And, you know, he was just an awesome teammate. And the fact that, like, you know, he was being told, like, look, I haven't heard anything about these rumors and such. But obviously those rumors were linked to the Carmelo Anthony trade, which thank God didn't happen. And we sort of worked wonders in this Denver trade and Atlanta trade. So hopefully he was kept informed by his agent and Sean Marks about the process. I can't see this being a blindsided move. Obviously, Jeremy probably would have had a bit more to say. Some more may come out. Obviously, he's had a few Instagram posts and Twitter posts and stuff. But, you know, he showed nothing but love. Isaiah Whitehead showed nothing but love for Brooklyn, his hometown. That was really awesome to see. You know,
yeah, you feel a little bit bad for Whitehead too.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's on to bigger and better things. You know, he's going to make an impact. I really do hope so. You know, Brian Fonseca, who put on Twitter, you know, he got a text from a source close to Isaiah Whitehead, said being in Brooklyn meant everything to him. So the fact that he was able to, you know, get something out of Brooklyn, hopefully, you know, he had some really nice moments. Not just, you know, we talked about him on some game recaps in the buzz during the year, and you know, he gave us something when we did have those injuries to our guards. I think you can give something to a roster, you know, if you're willing to take a flyer on someone in terms of, you know, some guys outside of China or guys in the G League. I think Isaiah Whitehead is more than worth that.
Yeah, I think maybe even a couple more years of development in the G League possibly and then coming back to the NBA and being, you know, a role player. And there's, you know, there's a small possibility he could end up back with the Nets down the line. Obviously not this year because of the CBA rules, but still, you know, we hope the best for him and Lin. You know, they both were very, you know, very nice people, very good people when the Nets organization helped set that culture, the right energy, the right mindset. And that's something that you can't really take for granted, especially when you're trying to rebuild the situation. So the best of luck to them. Let's talk a little bit more about the picks. Obviously, the first round pick of Denver, which we talked about, and you kind of mentioned that OKC one. And I feel like this would honestly be a better pick than OKC could have sent in any situation. But do you think the Nets are going to keep that pick that they got from Denver, or they're going to try to package it in a trade? Do you think it's more likely they trade the pick or keep the pick?
Nick, we're getting Kawhi Leonard, mate. It's happening.
I've seen rumors out there. Nets Twitter is hyped right now.
Of course they are. Of course they are. And why not? The fact that we're actually hyped about this sort of stuff. You know, Jimmy Butler has knocked back the contract extension. For some reason, they're offering him less than Andrew Wiggins, which bewilders me. So there's obviously going to be rumors surrounding free agents and restricted and unrestricted free agents in that sort of sense. But for me, right now, it doesn't make sense to trade these picks. The Nets don't need or want to be good now. We have all that space next year. It seems 2019 is going to be the season. Like Nets Daily put out the piece, this is going to be the year of D'Lo. All eyes are going to be on him. And to a lesser extent, guys like Rondé and Caris LeVert and maybe even Jared Allen, but he's already proved more than his capability so far. So I see us keeping the picks. Like I mentioned at the start of the pod, you can always package them at next year's draft. And if you want to get a higher pick, you can always go there. So, you know, hypothetically, we get the 14 and, you know, we get our own pick, which happens to be, you know, 9 or something like that. Like this year's pick was 8. So if we get 14 and 9, you can package that. You can probably get up to, you know, a near a top 5 sort of pick possibly. You know, the Sacramento Kings sort of did that last year where they traded, I think it was 15, their 10th pick for 15 and 20. So, you know, if we have some there in the top 10 as well, you know, we can obviously push up into that top 5 where the obviously talent pool is going to be a lot greater. So I see us keeping going to next year because Sean Marks doesn't really make any rash decisions.
Yeah, it would have to be a perfect trade, I think, at the deadline or something along those lines. I think it's more like you said, moved at the draft. If that's for a player or if that's for a trade package to move up in the draft, I think for the most part, it would have to be a perfect trade for them to kind of make a move for a player. But I wouldn't rule out of the realm of possibilities, especially with Sean Marks.
Yeah, and I mean, Sean Marks, we always are surprised by the moves that he makes. Like, we sort of had, like, rumblings of this trade, you know, before the draft. And, you know, even the Lakers were sort of in the realm of doing this trade to sort of get the pick that we got to sort of, you know, making a move for Kawhi. I think the number one asset that we got out of this was the pick. Obviously, the fact that Sean Marks has been able to get any picks along the way has been, you know, insane. You know, he's been talked about already as an executive of the year, which it's just, it's crazy to think, you know,
especially the situation he took over.
Exactly. A guy from, you know, just across the way, just across the ocean from me over in New Zealand doing his thing. It's just awesome to sort of see that relevancy, see that respect back to our franchise, back to our team. And, you know, everyone jumping on that bandwagon. It's just, we never thought we'd see the day. I've mentioned it before. It's just, you know, the future was very murky, you know, under Mikhail Prokhorov and Billy King and Bobby Marks. But now we're under, you know, new management with Joseph Tsai, Sean Marks, Kenny Atkinson. It seems like the future is only getting brighter and brighter.
Yeah, it's definitely, it feels like a long time ago where the Nets had no picks, no young players, when Rondé was the lone young piece on the roster. Things have definitely changed a lot. Which Net do you think benefits the most from this trade?
I think it probably benefits Spencer Dinwiddie the most. You know, you could argue maybe D'Lo if, you know, Jeremy Lin's going to be starting, because if we look at last season, Jeremy Lin and D'Lo probably started next to each other. And obviously you could argue that, you know, you'd rather have Alan Crabb in that position, or you'd rather have Spencer Dinwiddie, or you'd rather have Caris LeVert. I think it'd be interesting later to debate what our starting lineup is going forward as well. But I think it probably benefits Spencer Dinwiddie the most. You know, it allows him to sort of, you know, get those extra minutes, get those extra reps in, sort of prove himself even more so. You know, he's going to be going into a year where he's going to be trying to prove himself even more so. Caris LeVert to a lesser extent. I think it just helps all of our guards in terms of, you know, the minutes that Lin would have gotten. You know, you distribute those across from, you know, everyone from Joe Harris to Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. But I think in terms of, you know, not minutes-wise, but in terms of reputation-wise and in terms of being able to sort of run this team in his sort of eyes and in his mold, along with Coach Kenny, it's D'Angelo Russell as well. So obviously you can make an argument for any of them. Whose bandwagon do you think are you on?
I think you were right on with Spencer Dinwiddie. I think it pretty much locks him up as the backup point guard. You know, I think there was some question maybe about him and Lin kind of battling for minutes a bit, and obviously Spencer being the younger guy. It feels like the Nets are really buying into Spencer. You know, this offseason there was a lot of talk, myself included, that I thought he might possibly be traded, especially around the draft, and he wasn't. So I think it's kind of a message sent like, all right, Spencer Dinwiddie's a guy that we might look to keep around. You know, next year could be a lot different when his contract runs out and they need to pay him. But I think in that backup role, I think it really works out. He gives you a guy that can start if D'Angelo were to go down or something. And like you said, I think it benefits D'Angelo. He doesn't have to really worry about that. He's kind of the lead guard. He's a guy in control. He's the best guard in the Nets roster. And then you look at Caris LeVert. He's a guy who doesn't have to worry about kind of dishing off the ball and having to play more off ball. I think it allows these three young guys, which are, you know, three of the top five players probably on the Nets, to have the ball in their hands more instead of having to worry about playing off ball and kind of worrying about making sure everything's working out for Jeremy Lin. So I think it definitely is going to help the young guards.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't stunt their development in any sort of way.
Yeah, I also think Jared Allen, I tweeted this out. I think Jared Allen might be shooting more threes than we anticipated going into the season, especially with some of the pieces they added. You know, if they are looking to play Fareed at all at the four, and then obviously Rondé doesn't really shoot threes unless he did a ton of work this offseason. But I think Jared Allen could shoot a little bit more threes than we anticipated going into this year.
Yeah, it seems that way, obviously, through some of his summer league play. It's funny, in 2K, every time I play as the Nets, Jared Allen's always the one hanging out in the perimeter because he's the starting setter. And I'm always trying to, like, whenever I kick it out, I drive and kick it out, and I do take the three with Jared Allen. Obviously, he doesn't go in very often because he's not a three-point shooter. So hopefully that then changes in the coming season because, you know, I'd like to see his rating improve in that sort of sense but by the time the 2K19 comes out. But, yeah, when you look at guys like, you know, Kenneth Freed and Ed Davis, guys who may play some small ball five, but also could play at the four as well if we're going sort of a supersized lineup, because who knows, having that sort of flexibility like we've talked about on other pods is key for Coach Kenny, just being able to throw out different sort of lineups and looks. You know, those guys are just full-on rebounders, full-on defensive sort of guys, guys that don't really have that ability to stretch the floor. So it allows Jared Allen to sort of, you know, hang out a little bit, but he's still probably our best rim protector. You could argue Ed Davis is as well. Ed Davis is probably our best pick and roll defender right now, but I just liked the fact that Jared Allen is expanding his game. You know, his free throw shooting was one we were marveled at, and the fact that he exceeded expectations and then some. And generally, like, you know, has been mentioned by guys like Kevin Pelton, if you're a decent three throw shooter, that generally translates to the mechanics of being able to be a decent perimeter shooter. So hopefully that bodes well for Jared Allen. And yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, because I think there's going to be lesser expectations on a guy like Allen this year, bringing in these vets. So allow him to sort of expand his range. You know, keep him out there if he misses a couple threes. I think the key for him is going to be confidence, as it is with all young guys.
Yeah, I think the corner three. I'm not really that concerned about top of the key or anything. That would be great. But if he can just develop that corner three, and honestly, the play that keeps replaying in my head is from Summer League where Jared Allen takes the kick out. He's at the three-point line, hits him with a pump fake, dribble drives, get in the paints, and throws down a poster. You know, I think that's just a beautiful play. Yeah. And it's something that we're looking to see more of this season. And also, there's been talk about the East getting more about playing bigs, and that could be something the Nets were worried about a little bit. Having a little bit more toughness and rebounding should help. So I think the starting lineup, like you said, we could discuss that a little bit. But overall, I think Jared Allen will benefit from having these guys around to do some of the dirty work, especially being a younger, slimmer guy.
Absolutely. It allows him to sort of focus on other things in terms of his skill set.
What do you think about the Nets in terms of making another move? Do you think we're going to see more moves from this point on, or they're pretty much done?
Look, in terms of the amount of cap that we got left, you know, we can probably afford another minimum guy. Obviously, we've now been able to buy out Janan and Rodion's and their contracts. The cap hold of Joe Harris has now been used, so we can sign him to his deal that we reported earlier. There could be a minimum deal out there, and we do have another roster, couple of roster spots available. It's going to be interesting to see one of those go to some two-way guys from our summer league, guys like Milton Doyle, guys like Watanabe, is that his name?
Yeah. I was going to hope you were pronouncing that because I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I think it's Watanabe. He's got a really great following internationally as well in terms of that sort of that Asian following, that international following that Jeremy Lin had. He is absolutely huge in Japan, apparently. And I've liked his play in the offseason. And also, he's a stretch four as well. It just depends on whether they want to continue with Milton Doyle and see what he can prove. I see it probably the roster being filled out that way with either, you know, maybe some vet minimum guys who were still on the market. You know, we saw Isaiah Thomas go to the rivaling Denver on a minimum deal. So who knows, we could pick up someone on the minimum for a cheap, get a bargain out there like we tend to do, or we could fill it out with some two-way guys. I'm not really fussed either way.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm just not a big fuss. I think the guys you mentioned, probably like Milton Doyle and Wannabe, will probably be two-way contracts. I wouldn't be surprised if they went after like a veteran point guard, you know, somebody for the end of the bench just to have around. Obviously, Jose Calderon already signed, but somebody along those lines, maybe like a Jameer Nelson or just somebody that they could have just in case and kind of help the young guys kind of mentor them a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, we've added so much leadership in terms of the vets that we've gotten. So it'll be interesting to see which route we do go down. And obviously, I'd be remiss not to mention Pinson as well, who's shown some decent play. in the summer league as well. So if you're looking for guys on two-way contracts, it'll be Doyle Pinson or Watanabe, and obviously some vet minimum guys could be out there as well. But I'm in the camp of Watanabe, and I mean I don't really care about Pinson or Doyle. I'm all about the stretch fours because being somewhat of a big bloke, you know, I've got to stand up for him.
No, definitely. Those guys are interested in keeping an eye with the two-way contracts, and the Nets D League team obviously is great with player development, so see what happens with those guys. Do you feel like now, since the Nets grabbed another first-round pick in next year's draft, that they're a little bit more comfortable if they were to strike out in free agency next year because they'll be adding possibly two young pieces and kind of adding to the rebuild regardless?
It depends, Nick. I mean, obviously, you know, David Aldridge tweeted earlier, it's going to be the fight for the apple. I think we're gonna start making a trend, Apple Fight and Brooklyn Buzz. Like, I reckon every time we put out a pod, we'll do hashtag Apple Fight, hashtag Brooklyn Buzz, because I think that's going to be something really fun to watch. And the fact that, you know, some credibility is being given back to basketball in New York is only good for the game and the league in general. It's really exciting to see the development and the sort of reformation in that sort of sense in terms of the image of basketball in the city. I wish I was there to sort of be on ground zero. But in terms of your question, it depends on the talent available. Obviously, guys like Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, you know, if you get someone that high, then yes, that's a franchise-altering guy. You know, obviously, you look at this year's draft, probably a guy like even a Wendell Carter, some are talking about as being, you know, franchise changing. Kevin Knox at that sort of nine position as well, possibly as franchise changing. So it depends on the number that the Nets get with their own pick, because obviously the Denver pick is 1-12 protected. So it depends on how good our Nets are or how good we can package a deal to sort of move up. Obviously, you prefer the proven commodities in guys like Jimmy Butler, KD, Kyrie Irving, and Klay Thompson, because they're proven guys. But at the same time, you know, you wouldn't put it past Sean Marks and Coach Kenny in terms of their player development to turn any of these guys into superstars, especially if we see that happen with D'Angelo Russell this year.
Exactly. And I think the fact Jared Allen and Caris LeVert weren't drafted very high either, obviously in the 20s, I think that gives you a little bit more hope about the picks. I think it gives, you know, it's not a huge, you know, backup plan or like blanket to kind of cover you up in case you miss out on free agents. But I think it definitely kind of eased the process if they were to strike out. It's like, all right, now we have about six young pieces. You know, we re-signed D'Angelo, re-signed Rondé, and now we maybe missed out on some of the big guys, but we have cap flexibility moving forward. Maybe we add another pick. But I think obviously the goal would be to add at least some very good free agents, maybe not the cream of the crop like we talked about in the previous show, but at least some of these borderline all-star types to kind of really push the envelope forward that the Nets are about winning.
Yeah, it's all about having that flexibility, all about sort of improving the roster as a whole. You know, you obviously, unless you're in the race for those free agents, unless you have the space, you know, there's no point in even talking about them. But the Nets have obviously put their names out there. And I'm sure, you know, all the players are on Twitter, all the players are liking comments on Instagram here and there. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's talking about the Spurs and the Knicks and such. But, you know, Brooklyn's right down the road, and I think they're starting to make their name be known. And I'm sure that the meetings will be called, the phone calls will be had. And if the Nets have a decent enough season where they're pushing for an 8 seed possibly, and, you know, they obviously with the lottery odds being smoothed out, that gives us a chance to still get a decent enough pick, then who knows? We could have one of our sort of big superstar guys for the first time in who knows how long.
I think you brought up a great point, the fact that the Nets are catching a lot of love. And it's not just with Nets Twitter, it's with overall just NBA Twitter. A lot of the big name NBA writers are showing the Nets love. Sean Marks, everybody's talking about how he hasn't made a wrong move. He's pretty much owning this GM job. And I think it's going around the league, and it's really nice to see. And then the facilities are so great in Brooklyn. And also one thing that you constantly hear about the Nets through the players is the Nets are really concerned about everyone's family, making sure it's a family environment and everyone's taken care of. So I think that's something that players respect. And if the player's really looking for the best situation for themselves, Brooklyn is definitely someone who's on the list and keeps getting higher and higher.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're talking about one of the best cities in the world, I mean, New York, it's always been my dream to live and work in New York, and Brooklyn would be, you know, insane. You know, Shake Shack across the road, the Barclays Center is one, like you mentioned. Barclays Center is one of the best stadiums in the league, and, you know, our training facilities are the best, if not the best. You know, there are other teams that sort of get talked about here and there, but for me, you know, the Nets are far and above. You know, Jannan marveled at it when he was sort of in for the press conference and he was signing. And, you know, that environment that we've created, like, I think it was a story last year. We talked about the sort of the family facilities and guys like Quincy Acey and Damari Carroll, all these sort of vets talking about how welcoming it is to their partners and to their families in general. And obviously there are the guys that will be targeted will be guys that probably do have those families. Kyrie does have a child. You know, all these sort of guys will be wanting to sort of maintain that sort of connection. You know, it's a grind of a season, 82 games without, you know, as much contact with your families and your partner and your kids. You know, it takes a toll. And the fact that the Nets are so welcoming in that sense is certainly a tick for us, because, you know, other teams may not sort of have that environment and created that sort of culture. So anything that's a good thing for the Nets is going to be a good thing for prospective free agents.
Yeah, and like you said, living in New York is amazing. You know, there's so many different options where it's like so diverse as well. You can live a certain way. Your family can live there. There's tons of stuff to do. You know, a lot of big things are happening in New York City on a regular basis. But moving on from there, Jack, do you think this trade ultimately helps the Nets get closer to making the playoffs this year, or it's still about the same?
No, I think it actually does. Any way that you can add to your roster in terms of a talent, in terms of depth, you know, if you're arguing, what's Jeremy Lin going to add more than Kenneth Freed or Darrell Arthur? It's sort of null and void. I think, you know, adding that extra play like a Darrell Arthur gives us the possibility, you know, in terms of at that four position, that we could have, you know, some extra play. You know, Jeremy Lin may have been better in terms of his talent and in terms of his production than guys that we just mentioned, and even in some of our other guards. But I think it probably brings us that little bit closer. Like, you know, if you're going into the ESPN trade machine and probably do that trade, it'd be interesting to see how many wins up and down the two teams go. But for me, I think it adds to us. And I think, you know, adding a guy like Fareed alongside, you know, a thing that was a weakness for us last year in rebounding has ultimately become a strength with, you know, guys like Ed Davis and Fareed, who are absolutely beasts on the board.
And you expect a lot of other guys to kind of step up in the rebounding department. It could be like the Nets are actually a really good rebounding team next year, depending on the lineups that Kenny goes with. But like you said, you know, losing Lin, he's a talented player, but the injury obviously is there. Was he going to get 100% even in, you know, 2018, or we weren't going to see 100% led to 2019? And like we talked about earlier, the young guards are there, and most of them, I would say, have a higher ceiling than Lin does. And the Nets needed more help in the front court, and they add Fareed and Arthur. You know, even if the guys don't play a lot, like you said, they're going to have nice depth on this roster. It just feels like the Nets roster is filling out with a whole bunch of at least pretty good to solid players. You know, they might not have any of these big name stars, but there's decent players at every position.
Yeah, right now we have 13 playable. Like, you could argue that Musa and Karak are two probably least playable guys in terms of their, but they obviously have the talent. It's just that they're not necessarily NBA ready, like league level yet. But to have that depth, you know, we've talked about how injuries have haunted us over the past sort of couple of years since we've been doing the pod, and even before that. To have that depth now, it's just like, you know, you've got a guy who goes down, you can plug someone right in that position. And because some of these guys are quite versatile, you know, Musa can play anywhere from 1 to 4. You know, LeVert can play anywhere from 1 to 3. Obviously, Fareed and Davis are 4 and 5s. So to have that depth now and that versatility, I think is going to be key in terms of not only roster rotation, but also in terms of injuries where to come. And they are.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. It's an 82-game season. You know, injuries are bound to happen regardless, as well as you're prepared or conditioned. But, Jack, you want to talk starting lineups? Give me your starting lineup on opening night right now. Obviously, a lot can change over the next few months, but if you had to make a pick right now.
Yeah, I think nothing much changes from last year, Nick. I think I've got D'Lo at the 1, Alan Crabb at the 2, Damari at the 3, Rondo at the 4, and Jared Allen at the 5. I think Alan Crabb is set for a breakout at that starting position. I've got big things hope for him. We've talked about D'Lo ad nauseum, and with good reason. It's going to be a very fascinating season for him. But, you know, low-key, I'm expecting some big things for Alan Crabb. He's spoken to Summer League and some of the reporters saying, you know, he feels great, the fact that he's healthy now and he can attack the season with full gusto. I'm ready for a big season from Alan Crabb at that starting position. And, yeah, if not, you know, my boy Joe Harris is going to be breathing down his neck as well.
Well, what would you say? You know, I agree. I think the starting lineup is most likely not going to change, but there obviously is always possibilities. If you had to pick one position where you think the change would come from last year?
I mean, in terms of the depth that we have, the four position with Arthur and Kuroks, you know, you could argue as well at the 3 with Musa. I think that Carroll and Hollis Jefferson are the guys that could probably change the most. I think Allen and Russell are probably the stalwarts there. Obviously, Allen could change in terms of his health and in terms of his durability. But now, obviously, being into his second season, that could change. So I think anywhere from 2 to 4, the 2 to 4 position, things could change because, you know, LeVert could start alongside Russell on nights. Same with Spencer Dinwiddie. So the flexibility, I think, other than the 1 and 5 position, I think that there's certainly still up for grabs somewhat.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think 1 and 5 are locked in. I would kind of think Carroll probably would be kind of close to locked in, just being one of the better two-way players on the Nets, if not the best. And then the fact that he just kind of has like a knack for making the plays when needed, and he's kind of the leader on the floor. And like you said, at the 2 spot, I would not be surprised if Caris LeVert were to jump Allen Crabbe, but they might want to go with the spacing just because Crabbe's such a good 3-point shooter. I think the 3-point shot is definitely going to be an impact on how the lineups work out because we know Kenny loves the spacing. But obviously, when you have some elite guys, like when you have a lineup with Allen Crabbe and Joe Harris possibly out there at certain points together, it kind of allows you to play maybe somebody at the 4 and the 5 who can't shoot the 3 because they're just setting the mean picks on the perimeter and getting them open. So I think there's a lot of different options for Kenny, and it should be a fun season. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't really have an idea about the rotations until maybe like a month or two or maybe 3 months into the season, just because there's so many different options.
Yeah, do you think in terms of Coach Kenny, you mentioned him there, Nick, do you think that this changes his sort of system and his philosophy? Obviously adding such 2 awesome rebounders, or does it sort of still turn into the sort of pace and space system and guys like Ed Davis and Freed contribute to that? But in another way, in terms of their offensive rebounding and getting us some extra looks, because obviously you play towards what your personnel is, and obviously adding all these different pieces in, does it change what Coach Kenny's going to be looking at going into next season?
I think, like you said, anytime you get new players, you kind of make some adjustments, but I think overall it's still going to be the same system. And I think Fareed and Ed Davis can set you some nice picks. They're not going to shoot threes, but we talked about Jared Allen adding to that 3-point shot. Rondé's talked about knowing that he needs to add the 3-point shot, so that could be a big boost for him. And also, when you shoot a lot of threes, there tends to be a lot of offensive rebounds, and having 2 monsters on the board like Fareed and Ed Davis should just add to that department. So I think it kind of is going to be like a plus. Like, you know, thinking about it all the time, you're like, all right, well, these guys can't shoot. How are they going to help the Nets in the system they run? Well, they can set good picks, and they can rebound offensive boards. So that's going to be a big plus for the Nets in an area where they probably didn't have it last year, and they're probably hoping like a guy like Mozgov would do it, and obviously that didn't work out at all.
Yeah, I think offensive rebounding in today's game, you look at guys like Steven Adams and the extra looks that he gives his squad, Andre Drummond as well. I think that it's becoming a premium to an extent. Like if you're going up against guys like the Golden State Warriors, where they're sort of it's sort of a weakness for them in terms of their rebounding. Obviously, they could make some. Obviously, getting DeMarcus Cousins changes that just a little bit. But I think that you work with what you got, and if you've got some great offensive rebounders, then jack it up, and then don't be afraid to see a guy like Ed Davis and Kenneth Fareed, get some monster putbacks. I'm expecting some highlights from the Manimal this year, and I think getting those extra looks is only going to be positive for us. And I'm really confident with this roster rotation and this depth that we have. We can see moments from Jahnan as well, being able to space the floor as well. I think that there's so much versatility to us now. Last year, there were just nights where, when we lost Rondé and Karras for that period, towards the All-Star break and just post it,
we looked
super weak. Now, when you look right now, if he's out, then you plug in a guy like a Daryl Arthur. If LeVert's out, you plug in a guy like a Musa. It's just like we have these ready-made replacements, whereas last year we just had that lack of depth. We traded Trevor Booker, obviously with good reason, to get that pick. Jahlil Okafor showed barely anything, and there was a real lack of depth. And what you want is to have guys that are ready to sort of just step in when needed, and I think Coach Kenny has got that now. And I think if he creates a cohesive system and where everyone buys into it and everyone knows their role, which I'm confident of, I think that it's going to be gangbusters going into next year.
And what we talked about too is another, just a touch on Fareed. I'm really excited, like you said. I think there'll be some highlight plays. He's definitely a guy that likes to get out and run too, so you could see a little bit more fast breaks from the Nets, where I think that's always a great area for a young team to kind of build up energy and confidence. But we mentioned, the Nets being a little bit fatigued during the year when Rondé and Karras were out and missing some pieces and having to play, Milton Doyle or James Webb III, guys who aren't NBA ready players. And now having depth is definitely going to help the squad, and I think they can play at a higher level of energy, knowing that they have somebody to back them up and come in. And like we said, having, pretty decent to solid players, Kenny's not going to mind, mixing up the minutes a little bit more. Somebody might play less minutes, but he's going to be fresher. And now we have a guy who's coming in who's not a lot worse than the guy who was starting. So it feels a lot better overall for the team.
Yeah, the pace, I think one thing is when we look good when we, you know, get out in transition, that pace and space system. Obviously, you know, we had one of the higher paces last year. You know, I think the New Orleans Pelicans finished with the highest sort of pace last season. But obviously with what we've got now, guy like Kenneth Freed certainly adds to that. You know, guys like Janan Musa as well. You know, I think the pace and space system is, and because we have that depth now, like you said, the minute distribution, you know, Coach Kenny doesn't necessarily have to worry about that. You know, I'd like to see him ride guys like D'Angelo Russell out there for a little bit longer if he's got a hot hand. You know, Allen Crabbe, Jared Allen, you know, if they're ready for those extra minutes, you know, these guys are starting to become fully fledged NBA-ready players. You know, give them those 33, 34 minutes. You know, obviously, you know, he limits his minutes in such a way, and maybe having that extra depth now sort of causes him to keep doing the same thing. But, you know, we could see some different things from Coach Kenny next year, but, you know, it's the fact that there's so much fascination surrounding all the different storylines with Coach Kenny and the lineups at each different player as well. There's so much to prove for all of these players. I think a lot of them are going to have plenty of chips on their shoulders.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be the best roster that Kenny's had in Brooklyn yet. So having all these pieces together, it'll be really exciting to see what will happen. And, you know, we don't know if the Nets will make another move. It might be a small move, a splash move. Who knows with Sean Marks? He's always working on something. But, Jack, anything else before you want to touch him before we get out of here?
Nets fans, keep watching, mate. There's always something happening behind the scenes, and we're on the buzz. Hashtag Brooklyn Buzz. We're buzzing.
Yes, sir. We are buzzing. And check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, YouTube. Subscribe, retweet. Also, check out OTGBasketball.com. We just did a site update. You can listen to the buzz on there and also check out any other Nets articles. Have a great day, guys.